shall prophesy. Come on. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy in the name of Jesus. That promise is connected with Joel chapter 2. Yeah, we got to stay back here because of the camera, unless y'all want to move the camera. In Joel chapter 2, the Bible says, in the last days. How many know we're in the last days? Amen? The last days are characterized by bad being considered good, wickedness being considered righteousness, up being considered down, left being considered right, girl being considered boy. Are you hearing me this morning? In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, says the Lord. That means black, white, everything in between. God's going to pour out his spirit on every tribe, tongue, and nation, and he's going to cultivate and set apart a redeemed people unto the Lord. But one of the promises of the outpouring is this, saints. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Are you hearing me this morning? But here's the thing. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. The Bible talks about the coming day of the Lord being marked also by this among the people of God, that the hearts of the fathers are being turned to the children and the hearts of the children being turned to the fathers. Are you hearing me? And so if we want to see sons and daughters prophesy, we got to see moms and dads prophesy to begin with. Are you hearing me this morning? Thank you, G. I'm already preaching. I can't help myself. I was just trying to give you a good funnel to operate in. Hallelujah. But before we get more into that, that's what we believe God wants to ignite right here at Center Point, a place where children learn to flow in the supernatural. An area of help that we need and an event that we have coming up where we want to see God touch hearts is Bless Flint this upcoming Saturday. Who's excited about Bless Flint? We're going to bless Flint and we're going to say of Flint, you are blessed in the name of Jesus. We're done speaking word curses over Flint. We're done saying, oh, the city has went to hell in a handbasket. Oh, my goodness, the water crisis. Oh, my goodness, GM left. Oh, man, it's a dry and weary place. No, the church needs to rise up and say, it's the land flowing with milk and honey. You're looking at the natural, but I'm looking at the supernatural. You're seeing what the enemy has done, but I'm seeing what God can do in this city. Hallelujah. And God wants to bring the power of the Holy Spirit to restore the voice of his people in this area because life and death is in the power of the tongue. So we're going to bless Flint, and we need your help doing that. Amen. We need your help this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're going to be making preparations for Bless Flint. We need as many people to come out and help. That's a very practical way that you can get involved in blessing Flint. Also, on Friday night at 6 p.m., we're going to be having another gathering where we're going to help set up and get ready and things like that. And we need as many hands on deck as possible. We are looking to have between 700 and 1,200 people on the church property on Saturday, August the 5th. And we're going to have the tent up. We're going to be ministering the supernatural under the tent. We're going to be having worship every hour. We're going to be giving away clothes. We're going to be doing a blood drive. We're going to be giving away food. We're going to be giving away resources to the community. And we're going to become a house that the city knows they can come to and be fed not only with the physical food, but also with the spiritual food of God's word. Amen? It's all about, we can bless them with the tangible goods, and we have plenty of things to give away. But what's most important is that we share the gospel of Jesus Christ and allow signs and wonders to follow so that they can know our God is truly the God who saves. Amen? And so if you want to help in any way, make sure you see Rachel Kozelman. You can just fill out a connection card and say, Bless Flint, and we'll have Rachel reach out to you. Is Rachel here this morning? Rachel, you want to stand up real quick? Make sure. Let's give God some praise for Rachel. Another thing that we have coming up for our parents to know about, especially parents of our teenagers, our middle schoolers and high schoolers, we are having an all-nighter. We're having an all-nighter. That's awesome. Come on. But what's awesome, me and Pastor Rob are sitting down talking about how youth lock-ins are typically done. And usually it's a bunch of games and getting to know each other. And that's great because our teenagers need to build memories together. But we're going to kick off the all-nighter with a guest speaker who's going to bring the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to create an environment where our teenagers can encounter the power of God. And then they can spend some time with one another afterwards during the all-nighter. So make sure that you have your teenager, your middle schooler or high schooler ready for that. That is going to be on Thursday, August the 24th at 6 p.m. Thursday, August the 24th at 6 p.m. And you have to come pick your kid up at 8:30 a.m. the next morning. 8:30 a.m. So that's a Thursday night. And come pick them up on Friday morning. It's going to be such a blessing. If you want more information about that, you can see Pastor Rob. He was the guy singing right here. There he is back there, waving his hand. Make sure you see him. Get your kids signed up. Is there going to be a cost? I think that we have, possibly we're going to take them axe throwing. It's free. So it's free. No, we're not doing axe throwing. Okay. We'll save that for another day. It isn't in a controlled environment, parents, so don't worry. But the axe throwing place has talked with us and said that they'll give us discounts and stuff if we come over there. So anyways, we're excited about God pouring out his Spirit on the teenagers. So make sure, don't let your teenager talk you out of it. Just tell them, listen, you're going. Amen? Where's my teenagers at? You're going. You're going. You're going to it, and it's just no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Be quiet. Okay, I think I'm done ranting. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And that's exciting, right? Trying to stay behind this pole. Charles said we have to stay behind the pole so that the camera can stay on us, and I'm having a hard time with that. So we're excited to give this morning. I just believe that there's such an opportunity to see the supernatural power of God in our finances when we give, especially during times of economic hardship. One of the hardest lessons for me to learn as a Christian is that when things get hard with the finances at home, the first thing I need to cut out is McDonald's. The last thing I need to cut out is giving. And so, I mean, it's tempting. You're looking at your budget and you just think, I got to cut back. You don't want to do that. As a matter of fact, where the Lord has challenged me over the years is to ratchet up my giving. Now, I don't know if y'all are at that place yet, but that's a tough one. But it works. I'm telling you, how many can testify when you've obeyed the voice of the Lord and he's told you to give when it was super uncomfortable, that there were supernatural blessings that came out? Can you just testify this morning? Let's give God some praise for that. Hallelujah. I'll be transparent with you. As a pastor who lives in a culture where the church has, from time to time, abused the concept of giving to kind of manipulate people, it's easy for me to be tempted to say, I need to tone that down. I need to be careful with that because I'm going to get people thinking that I'm trying to, you know, that I'm one of those guys. But God has convicted me year after year, saying, if you don't teach on this subject, then you are keeping people in bondage in their finances. Amen? And so God has really put it on me to say, you know what? We're not going to push giving to put people under compulsion and manipulate them and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to teach the word of God so that they can be set free in the area of their finances. Amen? God wants to set you free in that area. And when you invite the realm of heaven into your finances, all of a sudden you begin to see what I call the Obed-Edom effect take place. In Obed-Edom, they sat the Ark of the Covenant there where the presence and the glory of God was sitting there. And all of a sudden, the Word of God says that the house of Obed-Edom began to flourish. And so if we invite the presence of God into any area of our life, that area will begin to flourish. Invite the presence of the Lord into your marriage and watch what happens to your marriage. Invite the presence of the Lord into your children and watch what happens. Invite the presence of the Lord into your finances. You will see the exact same effect. And the way that we do that is by giving. I always say that giving is the tool that God gives us to break the grip of greed off of our life. Amen? Man, I got two amens on that one. Hallelujah. He wants to, and greed can be a spiritual demonic force that is robbing us because it's getting us to focus on material things more than we are on spiritual things. So when we give this morning, I want you to have a supernatural expectation. Let's not do it as a rote ritual. Let's not do it because it's our church thing to do. Let's do it with an expectation that God is going to move into the area of our finances and begin to bring open doors and supernatural breakthroughs into our life. Amen? You can give in person at the back in one of the offering boxes at any time during the service. You can give online at centerpointflint.com. In your bulletin, it gives you instructions on how you can do text giving. I'm not going to go over that because normally we have, but no one's really pulling out their phone and typing in the word while I'm saying it. So make sure you look at your bulletin if you want to see how to do text giving, and I'm going to take a moment and pray. Father, we thank you so much for the generous hearts of your people. Lord God, it's a sign of the supernatural work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. God, I know that left to my own devices, I would be a taker and not a giver, but because of your love in my life, you've changed me. And Lord God, I pray that you'll continue that work of changing and transformation in our lives as we give this morning. And that, God, we would expect you to move. That we would expect you to give us promotions in our workplace. That we would expect you to maybe open new doors of job opportunities. That we would expect you, God, to just cause random people to feel led to bless us. Lord God, because you are the God who gives abundantly into our life. You're a God who died to give us abundant life, and so we lay hold of that by faith this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Without further ado, I'd like to invite Becky Fisher to come up and share the word of God. Can you guys give her a warm welcome this morning? Thank you, Lord.
Woo, glory. This is a fun place to be. Amen. All right. Well, wow. This goes back a ways. That's great. I was checking it when I found out I was going to be preaching in a tent. I was going, oh, no. I had all kinds of imagination because that only happens overseas, right? And 100-degree temperatures. And when you travel like me, you tend to buy clothes that don't wrinkle in your suitcase. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like wearing a plastic bag. And so I'm thinking, oh, God, what am I going to wear? You know? But it's beautiful today, isn't it? Great, great. Yeah, it is. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, I have more to say than you have the seat capacity to listen to. So I'm going to try to go as quickly as possible. And I don't know what you know about me or what you don't know about me. I'm one of the church's best kept secrets in the body of Christ. I've been around for 30 years working with kids and children's ministers and different ones. We now have leaders in over 14 different nations that are actively going out and training other people to use our curriculums. I write curriculums. I write books, which, by the way, I want to remind you, I would like to go home with an empty suitcase today. I have, we sold quite a few things last night, but this morning I wanted to focus on parents particularly. And I know that we've got teenagers here, and I know we've got children here, and I think they will be interested in a lot of what I have to say. But I just recently wrote a book that's called A Parent's Guide to Raising Spiritual Champions. And if there's one thing in the church that I have discovered is that the church as a whole has done a very poor job of teaching parents how to raise their kids. In fact, if you ask Christian parents who has the number one responsibility for discipling their children and raising them in the faith, and they will raise their hand and say, I do, I do. But you know what that looks like? They turn it over to the church. They take them to Sunday school. Now, there was a day and age when I was growing up that worked pretty good because the whole culture was in tune. I mean, I was thinking about it today. I remember watching a show. Who remembers Hazel? Remember Hazel, those old black and white sitcoms? I remember watching Hazel one time, and the little boy on the show, Harold, he lost his dog. And he was just crying and boo-hooing, and they had searched everywhere. I mean, the whole half-hour program was them out there searching for the dog, and they finally gave up. And the little boy says, we can't give up. And they said, Harold, there's just no point in continuing. We've looked everywhere. And he says, but the Bible says if you have faith and believe that you're going to get the answer to your prayers. And I believe. He was quoting Mark 11:24 on Hazel. And of course, they found the dog at the end of the show. Now that's the world I grew up in. Uh-huh. Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, happy trails to you. You know, I can't bring it to my mind right now, but the verse, not the chorus, but the verse says, the day that I found Jesus, he transformed me and turned me into a new person. Happy trails to you. I mean, that was a different generation. The entire culture was helping us. We have the Ten Commandments in our schools. We used to go by something called the Golden Rule. Anybody remember the Golden Rule? The Golden Rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Today, not so much. It's a different world. In fact, parents, here's what I want to say to you. You can no longer raise your children or grandchildren, as the case may be. You can no longer raise your children the way we were raised, because the world that we were raised in no longer exists. So we've got to think differently. See, the children of today are not going to be reached the way you and I were reached. There was a day and time where if we had Christian parents, and they were good Christian parents, they brought us to Sunday school, and that was basically enough to push us over the line to go ahead and receive Jesus and live our lives for the Lord. But not today. The child of today is nothing like you were when you were that age. We're living in a completely different world. In fact, the world that we're living in, and I'm so far off my notes right now, I don't know if I could find it. Yeah, I don't know if I can find where I wanted to be. I actually had some stories I wanted to tell these kids up here, but let me just keep going as long as I'm going, okay? We've got to understand that we're in a different day and a different time. This is only the second time that I've gone out and preached in 3.5 years. What cut me down was COVID. I was in St. Petersburg, Russia, when the announcement went out through the world that we have this pandemic going on. And I barely made it back to the United States before they closed all the doors to the nations. And then, just 8 months into it, my elderly parents, 92 years of age and 94, needed to come and live with me. And it was my honor and my privilege to take care of them for 2 years in my home until they went on to go home to be with Jesus. And so since then, now you're going to see me limp up here a little bit because I'm dealing with a little bit of arthritis, and that's kept me out of the airports and the airplanes too. So I'm believing God for a healing touch on that one, but it's kept me off the road. So this is the second time I've just decided I'm not staying off the road anymore. Okay, I got a message to share, and a lot of it is to the kids, a lot of it is to teenagers, a lot of it is to parents. And what I've discovered over the years, when I was coming down through ministry, I've been doing this now for 30 years, right? And so what I am known for is kids ministry and ministry to kids ministers, to teach them to do what I do with kids. I had a revelation from God that we needed to raise up a generation and equip boys and girls to walk in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And that has guided everything that I've said and done for 30 years. And so as I've gone out, I've discovered that the things that children's ministers and volunteers need to know about discipling kids is the same thing that parents need to know about discipling kids in their homes. And here's what I want to say. It was really fun sitting in your service today, watching these kids come up, give words of knowledge, lay hands on the sick, and do all these things. And you can just give Pastor Hermela a good round of applause for what she's doing. And she's been telling me stories that's just got me excited. She didn't know, but she was encouraging me. And here I am to encourage you. Hang on just a minute. Is that my phone? I set the timer for 12 o'clock because I got an airplane to catch. I'm going to go over 12. I hope you don't have a roast in the oven. Okay? And because I'm just going to talk until I got to get in the car. All right? Here's the deal. I forgot where I was. Oh, she's done a fantastic job with these kids. You could tell they're walking in a maturity that you will not see in most churches in the children. But here's what I want. I know that the parents are sitting there and going, you go, girl. You got it. We're behind you all the way. But here's the problem. She can get those kids operating in the gifts of the Spirit and her children's ministry. She can get them filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. She can get them given words of knowledge and healing the sick and all the rest of it. But if you aren't doing your part at home, you see, we are in children's ministry. We are to be your partners in discipling children. We are not your substitute. And if the only place that your kids are speaking in tongues is here at church, if the only place that your kids are given words of knowledge is here at church, if the only place your kids are laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover is here at church, and you don't do anything like that in your home, you never pray with your kids at home except over your food, you never lay hands on the sick, you shut the door on the prayer closet, right? Because that's the only time you can be alone. You never take the kids in the prayer closet with you. They're going to get the idea that all that stuff is just for church, when it's supposed to be going on in your home every day. And so if mom and dad are not setting the example, if mom and dad, I want to tell you something. I've been doing this a long time, and you can tell which kids have parents at home that are working with them and which kids don't. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. And so you want to be those parents that are working with the kids. Because in a heartbeat, in a New York minute, these kids are going to be teenagers. And I didn't get a chance to visit with the youth pastor, okay? So I don't know what's going on in the youth. I've just been visiting with Pastor Hermela here. And so here's what you need to know. In a New York minute, they're going to be in the teen group. And whatever it is that you put in them right now, under the age of 12, the belief system that you put in is basically the belief system that they're going to carry with them all the rest of their lives. And that's a statistical fact. I'm not making this up. And in many churches, you see no spiritual maturity whatsoever in the kids. So this is like a breath of fresh air here. But don't take it for granted, you know. Don't take it for granted, because what attracted you in as a youth, as a child, to come to Jesus, this is a different generation. You see, this generation is no longer satisfied to sit there and listen to you tell Bible stories over and over and over again. In fact, here's a statistic that might interest you, that by the age of 13 years old, the average kid that has gone through our typical Sunday schools in the Christian churches feels that they know everything they know there is to know about God and the Bible, and they have no further reason for going to church. Now, why is that? Because for the first 12 years of their lives, we've just told the same Bible stories over and over and over again. Now, there's nothing wrong with Bible stories. But if you're not teaching them the deep things of God, here's what I say. Kids cannot live by Bible stories alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you aren't teaching your kids doctrine, if you aren't teaching them what you believe and why you believe it, it has to adopt that as their faith. It has to become theirs. It has to become their God. They cannot live on your spiritual experiences. They have to have spiritual experiences of their own. And it's not all going to take place in the church. They've got to be able to go back into their schools as kids and be able to stand in the face of Goliath. This is a different world, and you have to have your head buried in the ground to not realize how the world is coming after our kids and our teenagers. And I just have to say this right now. If you're a teenager, raise your hand. 19 and under, raise your hand. All right, there's not many here today. I see a few. Here's what I want to say, because I might forget it, and it really doesn't fit anywhere in my sermon, okay? But I just felt like that I was supposed to say this. There is no such thing as my truth and your truth. There's the truth and your opinion. All right? And so when you get bombarded with this stuff, the truth is the living word of God. And it is not outdated. And there are so many challenges against our kids right now, everything in our school systems, our educational systems, on the internet, on all of the social media and all, is teaching our kids that God is an option. And it's really not just one God. It can be many gods. It can be as many gods as you want, that there's no one way to go to heaven. Do you know that less than, I want to say, I get my statistics confused sometimes, but I want to say there's less than 4% of Gen Z that has what we call a biblical worldview, which means that they do not take the Bible alone as truth, that they have adopted the belief systems of many different worldviews, and they've made their own religion. That is a fact. They've made their own religion. Do you know that less than 25% of Christian parents, I'm just jumping around from stream to stream here. Did you know that less than 25% of Christian parents actually look to the Bible for advice on how to parent their kids? I hope all 25%